Hello, friends. This is Lead Time. I'm going to be your host today. Tim is going to be off, and it's just going to be me and our guest, Dan Morton. Dan is a brand new campus director here at Christ Greenfield. I've had a chance to get to know him over the years, and we're going to have a wonderful conversation. Dan is comes from the private sector. He just recently was working in the lending business, and before that, he was in commercial security. He's just celebrated his 24th wedding anniversary with his lovely wife, Tina, who is a professional Lutheran educator. He has five children, two in college, one in high school, one in junior high, and one in elementary school. We are going to be having a great conversation. We're going to be talking about what it looks like to lead in the church and how it's different leading in the church than it is in the private sector. We're going to be having wonderful conversations about what it looks like to inspire people to serve in their gifting. Let's go.
This is Lead Time.
Dan, welcome to Lead Time, brother. It's good to have you on. How are you doing today? How are you doing today?
Good to be here. Good to be here. Yes, doing well. Doing well.
Yeah, so I'm excited to have you on the show today. So just so people know, Dan's been a long-term member of the same church. We go to the same church. He's recently joined staff, and I got to know him in the Boy Scouts, actually. That was a really cool experience. And so Dan was a scoutmaster, and I'm kind of an assistant scoutmaster. I also have like a corporate role in there. Got to do a lot of campouts with him, got to go to Camp Geronimo together. Dan, I have a memory of us going to Camp Geronimo, fleeing a forest fire together.
Oh, yes. Yes. Talk about a bonding experience, right? Near-death experience. I mean, it wasn't that near death, but it felt like it.
But there were like ashes raining down on us, the sky was on fire. And
yes, it looked pretty apocalyptic. There's no doubt about that.
And we had a bunch of kids. We were
Oh my gosh.
Keep safe. Yeah.
That's right. A bunch of kids who they probably thought we were pretty close to death.
Yes.
But yes, they did so good. So proud of those. Yeah.
So I was so impressed with this is just like a little bit of background for people. So impressed with the work that I got to see him do as a scoutmaster. Because there was a season and time where that troop, you know, had a little bit of difficulty getting people to step up and serve. And then not too long ago, I remember going to a scout ceremony, and this is after Dan takes over as scoutmaster. And I see all the assistant, all the volunteers and the assistant scoutmasters lining up. And it is just like taking up an entire wall of these guys serving. I'm just sitting there thinking, wow, it is incredible to see people stepping up and serving that way. And so like, I have to say, you know, I was involved in the hiring process, bringing Dan on board to Christ Greenfield. And that was something that I really thought about in this hiring process. Like that was a really great opportunity to get people mobilized into volunteer leadership. And he really did a great job demonstrating that. So now fast forward, Dan is a new to the campus director role at Christ Greenfield. Why don't you tell people about that? If anybody's unfamiliar with the role of campus director, how would you describe that to people?
I think it was described to me at one point, anything that happens on campus better go right because it falls at your feet, something to that effect. But yeah. But no, that's definitely a huge oversimplification. You know, it's taking care of kind of all aspects of the campus and how things operate on campus for events, activities, day-to-day operation, facilities, security, and then our serve teams, which, you know, church being different than the private sector, the workers have to want to be here.
They got to want to be here, right?
They got to want to be here. So, right. So that's a little different, but good mm-hmm. because honestly, people want to serve. The question is always just, you know, what are the hurdles? And then of course, you know, how do you make it as enjoyable a situation as possible, knowing that serving is work, you know, at the end of the day. It can be really fun work. But how do you make that happen and match people up with the right thing individually? So I love doing that sort of thing. So
what would you say, just kind of describe, unpack that a little bit more for people. What would you say that you enjoy most about the role, and what would you say is the most challenging part of the role? I think you alluded to some of it already, but kind of unpack that a bit more for people.
So the way I kind of see it is, everybody wants to do something productive. They want to serve. And yes, absolutely. Your treasures financially are absolutely important. You know, I tithe myself, and it's important that the financial pieces happen, because, you know, the world and facilities and all those things, it costs money to get a lot of work done, right? So additionally, though, there are so many things that people have talents for, that have a passion for, or have just a skill set that is unique. And if you mix that with community and you're serving the Lord, which you just can't have a better cause, then you align all those things. And that's when the Holy Spirit really does all the work. I mean, to say that it's any one person getting volunteers, no. It's absolutely the Holy Spirit moving through people, connecting people, and then connecting
to
something that they can make a real impact with and bless so many more people with.
Indeed.
So cool.
So what does that process look like for you to try and surface people's gifts, the things that might be lighting them up, to try and get them plugged into the right spot? What does that look like for you to do? Well, how would you describe your approach?
Well, it starts with relationship. I mean, there's nothing real complicated about that, you know, and one thing I do really enjoy doing is meeting people, getting to know them, finding out what kind of lights them up. Like, that gets me, honestly, that gets me super excited. Like, when I see like a passion and that kind of fire light up in somebody's eyes as to something that they're like interested in or passionate about, I just want to fan that flame. And then I enjoy encouraging people too. Like, I know that sounds kind of corny and maybe like I'm making that up, but I really do actually enjoy, because maybe just a glorified cheerleader. I don't want to say that I'm some special person that does this. I just love cheering people on, and then also just the friendships, period. Like, I get to be friends with that person, and then if I can connect them to a group of people that has that same shared passion, it's just awesome. And then you get to watch them do amazing things, way better than you could have ever imagined them being done, because, they've got the passion, they've got the community, got the Holy Spirit. It's all tied together. And then that's when just God does amazing things through his people. Mm-hmm. And so, I have to kind of systematically look through, okay, well, what are all of our serve teams that we kind of have, formally, listed and things that just need to take place, for every Sunday, for, things around campus. And then who's on those teams, which teams, need the most help right away. So we try to get them the help they need as quickly as possible. And I try to help out where I can. And then there's so many other ways to serve that aren't even necessarily, a defined group on campus. That's the other thing. It'd be real easy to say, well, we have a need on this team, and so I'm just going to meet this person and try to connect them, and maybe they're a square. Well, let's say they're a circle, and it's a square, and I'm trying to fit them into that role. That's never the way, right? It's seeing what is God leading them to, and having that conversation about that, and then matching them up with something. And it may not be here, honestly. Mm-hmm. In fact, the more you are open to the direction that the Holy Spirit is calling somebody to go, the more amazed you are going to be at where they end up, because they're gonna find that thing, or we're gonna work together to find that thing. But then you also have people who are an absolute great match for, like, the teams that we have established and the community in those teams. Like, so cool.
That is really cool. Challenge. What makes it challenging?
Makes it challenging. Well, there's never a shortage of need for service work, right? So, right. And you know,
let's pause on that, especially in an organization that is entrepreneurial and ambitious. The vision always exceeds the capacity that we have, right?
Absolutely.
And it will always be that way.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, go ahead. Go from there.
Yeah. I mean, well, we want to do so much as a church. Like, you know, I've been to a lot of churches and have a lot of friends at a lot of different churches in different leadership roles and what have you. And a lot of places are just a church on Sunday, and then they have all of the team opportunities that go along with church and service. It's great. but it may just be services on Sunday and then maybe an occasional event. Mm-hmm. Maybe a soup supper from time to time.
Yep.
But I think a lot of people don't necessarily realize the depth and breadth of the programming done here at Christ Greenfield. Mm-hmm. In that, I got into this role and I was like, okay, so when is there a break in the calendar? And we haven't gotten there just yet, but
when are we going to clean things?
Yeah. Where's the between things where you get to, like, catch your breath? But that's, you know, that's a part of our culture, is we want to meet people where they're at and provide opportunities for people to connect with Jesus, mm-hmm. In so many different ways, and there's so many people who are so passionate about all of the things, mm-hmm. that you get in a situation where there's just something kind of for everybody all the time. But that takes a lot of intentionality. It takes a lot of planning, collaboration, mm-hmm. Amongst all departments, to make that happen, and true teamwork, in a way that, I got to say, is a little unique to our setting, as opposed to the private sector. And I would even venture to say a lot of other churches in the level of collaboration and teamwork.
Yeah.
And
share more
and
about I gotta that. Say, collaboration and teamwork. What does that look like from your perspective?
Yeah. I mean, I got to say, coming from a corporate environment, you know, I've worked at, you know, Wells Fargo, I've worked mm-hmm. for EDS, like, you know, some pretty big corporations, and, you know, you have your job, and, it connects to other jobs, but essentially, you know, somebody from higher up kind of tells everybody what they have to do, and everybody has to do that thing. Mm-hmm. And there's very much this kind of territorial, well, this is my job, that's your job, you better do your job. Well, here, one, you couldn't live like that in our environment, because there's just too much to do. You gotta be right. Working into it. But I gotta say, there was a situation where we were preparing for, it was one of the Holy Week services. Mm-hmm. And something had to get set up after youth group had happened pretty late in the evening. And I was honestly expecting to have to come back and, you know, do a whole bunch of stuff to get prepared for the next day. Mm-hmm. Well, it would have been just as easy for Maddie, who works with our youth and does such a good job leading our youth, to say, well, that's your job. You know, do your job. I've had a long day. I just got, I'm tired out from all these kids, and I'm going to go home and I'll let you take care of that. Instead, she stayed and did that for me. And I can't tell you what a huge blessing was. That's just one example of many, many that I can't even, you know, start to count, where people are just, you know, we're all in it together. We're all rowing in the same boat, fishing for men. Right. Oh, did you see how I turned that right into, I mean, so yeah, it's just super cool. That's super cool.
All right. So let's talk about your transition from private sector. So you're working in commercial lending, you've done different corporate jobs, and now you're working in ministry. Talk about that transition. What does it look, how is it different to lead in one context versus another from your perspective?
Well, I see probably most people, you know, listening to this, you know, totally understand and identify with the fact that when you're just kind of, you're out in the secular world and there are corporate rules, there are corporate cultures. A lot of them are somewhat similar, but many cultures have nuance or a certain energy in the air that may be somewhat positive. It may be that you feel very good about, you know, your work environment, that everybody's kind of working towards the same goal. I would say those are the healthier, you know, corporate environments. But at the end of the day, there is still a point at which you are kind of a little bit on an island, a little bit just doing your job, and kind of wanting other people to do their job. And there can be, you know, some of that backbiting and stuff. And not to say that there's not challenges in relationships, you know, in a church environment. It's just different when you all have the same moral values, the same values when it comes to kindness, for caring, that at the end of the day, we are all working towards wanting to be more like Christ. And when that's in your DNA, then the challenges that do come up naturally because we're human, they're so much easier to solve, and not only just solve, but like become better for them. It's like a bone that might break. When it heals together stronger for having kind of gone through the adversity that it's gone through. So I've got to say, like, all the relationships, I mean, I knew everybody on staff. I've been here at this church for a long time. I've been very involved in the church and the school here. So I knew everybody on staff, and I'd say reasonably well, some more than others. But my relationships with everyone on staff have only grown. And I've only grown to respect people more, to admire them more for the work that they put in, the dedication that they put in, because you don't see so much of it. You know, it's very easy to be in a church and kind of look at different people and say, oh, well, I guess I kind of know what they do. But you, at least here, it's hard to have an idea of just how much dedication and time people put in, well above and beyond what you would just assume that they get paid for.
You know, sometimes I think it can be easy for people to say, well, you know, I work in the corporate world, so I have a real job, and people doing ministry, they got a cushy job, right? Let's challenge that notion right now. In what ways do you think it can be more challenging working in the church space than in the for-profit space? Because I have a few things, but I want to hear your take on that.
Great point. So, you know, I've run teams, I've had staff in previous work environments. inside and outside staff. So people within the office that reported to me, and then people out in the field all over the country, right? Mm-hmm. Contractors. So I'm very familiar with all the kind of, you know, different types of those types of relationships, and how you kind of need to maintain them. But at the end of the day, there is a financial component to the relationship where that person wants to work there because they're getting paid at the end of the day. Right. They may love the work. They may not. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, there's a natural motivation to want to complete the work simply because you need to keep working. Mm-hmm. That being said, as a manager in that type of scenario, it's not that you use that as dangling that over their head. You absolutely want to inspire through achievement, through encouragement. I've always felt like you catch more bees with honey. That's just kind of like mm-hmm. written into my DNA, I think. I prefer to work with people who are enjoying themselves. And the more you can make work fun, I mean, the better it is for everybody. But at the end of the day, in that corporate environment, there is a difference. There's kind of a structural difference to that. That being said, there are challenges to that. The metrics, the hard line, everything kind of has to be. Mm-hmm. In church, there is some more flexibility when it comes to that. But when your church environment aspires to serve so robustly, like ours does, then rather than being forced through certain things that need to get completed, you are inspired to get through just a monstrous amount of work at the same time.
Right.
And while that's exciting and positive and all those things, rather than getting worn down by a day that's kind of forced on you to some degree, you are worn down simply through, I can give more to God. I can do more, even sometimes to your own detriment. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you're also working with a lot of volunteers. So when there are disagreements or challenges, you're not a manager who has, you know, a situation where you're like, hey, well, we still need to get the job done because this is the way we kind of have to do it and we just need to get it done. It's more relational. Yeah. To the point where you're not just trying to get a job, service job done. You want to care for their soul. Mm-hmm. And that's a totally different type of scenario where there's a duality of responsibility to care for the soul in the way that God would want you to. And there's a heavy responsibility to that biblically, right? As a leader in the church and, mm-hmm. and whatnot. But then you also have to get real work done at the same time. And mm-hmm. so you want to balance those very carefully to care and know that they are loved. But also we still got some work to get done. So
yeah.
Inherent challenges.
So there's no church that I'm aware of, no healthy church, like healthy, vibrant church that gets all of its work done based on paid staff. Healthy, vibrant church gets its ministry work done by mobilizing volunteers to serve, not just volunteers, but volunteer leaders and volunteer leaders of leaders, right?
Yes,
that's necessary. So, you know, I give the analogy. I was in the military. I was a staff sergeant and all that. So if somebody comes into my platoon or whatever, I can tell them, just do what I say, right? And they have to, because I had the stripes on my collar. They had to do what I say. Now, eventually, they would come to have trust in what I was saying. They came to know me relationally. But initially, they had to follow me based on my authority, right?
Right.
Right. And I didn't want it to, I didn't ever want a relationship to only ever end at that. I wanted it to be more of a, an influential mentoring type of relationship, not just an authoritarian relationship. But initially it starts that way. And then it moves into that as you work together.
Right.
You don't even have that luxury in the church. You have to establish relationships based on influence from the very beginning, because there's nobody like the title campus director. It doesn't matter to anybody.
Oh no.
The only reason that anybody does anything is because they're inspired to do it, because they care about the vision to do it. And that's it, because they're doing it for free. And
that's right.
That means they have the option to do nothing at home or come here and do stuff.
Right. Right.
And sometimes they may even be giving up a paycheck in order to come here and do work for free. Right. Right. And so I think the challenge, like you said, is you have to be an influential leader. You have to inspire people. It has to be an act of love, and they actually have to care in a different way, not tied to a paycheck, about the outcome of ministry. And it has to be important to them. And so you have to talk about that all the time, about how the work that they're doing is impacting the lives of other people. They're actually contributing to the outcome, you know, the well-being of the community in ways that wouldn't happen apart from their serving.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And certainly wouldn't be that if it was just you alone there trying to get all this stuff done. It just wouldn't be the case, right?
Right. And, you know, I absolutely feel so blessed by God to be in this role because I feel that he's kind of prepared me all along your life. You know, God prepares you for your next step, whether you're prepared for that or not, or whether you think that next step's going to happen in the way that it does. But it was very much his plan all along that at this point in my life, I would be here. And I'm very confident of that. So at the end of the day, I feel humbled by the fact that I get to do what I feel that he's gifted me to do. And I also know, having served and worked, you know, in the corporate environment, in my day-to-day, like mortgage broking and doing all that, that this is very truly your free time outside of, you know, a job that you may or may not enjoy, that is a lot of work that weighs on you daily. And then you get to your evening or your weekend, and then you have to make a commitment to do that thing, because there's other people that depend on it getting done. And so that is a real sacrifice. And you know, a lot of times I think in the church, people come to church and they're like, oh, they're asking me to give again, right? I think everybody's like, oh, the offering plate's coming around. Yes, that is an amazing way to trust in God and give him your treasures, because you've worked for that. That's absolutely your time, your efforts, your work. But at the same time, your physical time being somewhere and using your talents that he's given you and gifted you with is also equally important, but also can serve an additional purpose. When I see people using their talents and treasures in a service mode, they're also doing it with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that blesses those people in a real direct way. And then not only are they doing something of value to the church and the larger community, but that community, just those relationships, serve each other in their relationship with God. So it's just, I mean, if you notice, I get excited when I talk about this stuff, because when that is happening real time and I get to be a part of it, I get to witness it, I get to facilitate it in any way, I thank God for that opportunity, and it's just so, so good.
You know, Dan, I became a member of Christ Greenfields the year 2000, and for a few years I would come and just come to the worship services and hang out for the worship services and go home. And, you know, I definitely felt it was my church and stuff, but I didn't really feel connected to the community here until I started serving. Once I started serving, my relationship to this church changed. And it changed from being a place that I would go and just get something from to actually being my family. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Because I was serving with people. And I realized that there were people that had like similar goals, similar ambitions with. And I was able to like start forming relationships with people in a way that was not awkward because we happened to be doing stuff together. It's so easy to have small talk with people when you're busy doing something.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. Right? If I don't have an activity.
Yeah.
You know, small talk, I'm not sure small talk is too many people's first choice of anything to do. But boy, when you have a shared activity you get to work on with somebody, I know us as guys, like a lot of times, like with the scouts and stuff, mm-hmm. like we got to have something to do. And and the ladies are the same way. They might chit-chat a little bit more, but there's definitely a need to have productive activity, maybe not even sometimes productive, but a shared activity where you get to to have a shared experience that, you know, bind you together. I mean, it's so important.
So what advice would you give for somebody that's considering getting into ministry work? Let's say they've been, so like we try to tap into the talents of prior vocation people. We try to think, you know, there's opportunities to serve bivocationally or secondary vocation, all that kind of stuff, transitioning vocations. What would you say to somebody who's thinking about that or considering that?
So let me tie this into like a point you just made a little while ago. Like you were going to church. Mm-hmm. And you felt like it was very much your church, but you didn't really feel like a part of it until you started serving. So I love that point because it touches on different seasons of our life, different, you know, just times in your life where your life might need to kind of be fed a little bit more, and that going to church is just about all you can kind of bite off at that moment. And I totally get that, right? Mm-hmm. But dipping your toe in the water of serving, even a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think a lot of people go, "Oh, well, if I got to serve at church, I've got to be an usher every week, and there's all this time I've got to invest, and then people are going to count on me every week, and that can be a bridge too far, depending on what season you're in or what you're kind of ready for. I always say like, start with something little and meet some people and have a little bit of fun doing it. And then see what God is calling you to do. Like, what do you enjoy doing? What people do you find yourself kind of, you know, being magnetically attracted to, like from a social standpoint, you know, just in the courtyard, or do you like kids? Like, do you like hanging out with young people? Do you like hanging out with older folks? Do you like certain activities, you know, anything from knitting to sewing to landscaping, you know, are you an electrician? Like now I'm just listing selfishly things that I need help with, but there are also things,
folks, we need to have some electrical work. We got to get done here. Just so
by the way, quick note, I'm just kidding. But like we've got, what's cool about this place too, again, unique kind of from some places that are just a church, is we also have a fully operational school of 450, I think next year, maybe around 475, where we've got a theater, we've got a gym, we've got all kinds of sports activities. We've got softball field in the back. We run track. Like there are so many different ways to get involved. I mean, how many churches do you know that have like that do studio work? Mm-hmm. That have their own studio. Like we have multiple campuses. You want to work with the marginalized and develop relationships with homeless and people who really need community. there's a place for that. Like, it just kind of goes on and on. I mean, we've got a robotics team in the school. So are you techie? Are you, you know, like, are you art? Are you an art person? We've got liturgical arts that do amazing things for our services. So, I mean, I'm not even listing all, I'm not even doing it justice, but there are just so many ways. So, you know, connect with somebody in the church and see, now I just keep, yeah. We've got a smoking group of guys who smoke meats, smoking.
Not tobacco.
that smoke meats, yes. For big events, like a bunch of guys who get together and like cook meat. Like,
which is like a legit ministry because we use that kind of for community building all the time, right?
So if you've got a talent and you've got a little bit of time, dip your toe in the water and don't, I also say, don't just do one thing. Try a few things. Do the sampler plate of service and see what tickles your fancy, see what people you resonate with and just make it happen. And there are people here who will absolutely, they'll help you to dip your toe in the water at the speed and the comfort level that you want to. That's one of the great things I love about our culture is when you talk to people like, you know, Rachel and Maddie, mm-hmm. and people in our school, like that, you know, talk to me too. We want this to be as soul feeding for you as possible. The service, it'll get done. God's got this. But you being involved is the magic, and that's where hopefully the Holy Spirit's calling you. And let's fan that flame.
Amen. That's cool, bro. I love that. So we're kind of rounding out here. You and I are both passionate Lutherans. We love our Lutheran heritage. We love our history. We love our church body. But we look around and we know that there's certain things that could be healthier than they could be. So let me ask you this question. If there was something in our wider church body that you could change tomorrow, what would that be?
Ooh, it's a loaded question, Jack. It's a loaded question. No, I joke. You know, I went to Concordia Irvine, mm-hmm. and I was in one of the singing groups there called Exalt, and mm-hmm. we would tour Lutheran churches all over kind of Southwest mostly. Mm-hmm. I can't count how many, you know, Lutheran churches I've been to. And I grew up in a pretty, I'd say conservative overall. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it was like super fundamentalist or anything. It was just a standard Lutheran church back in the 80s mm-hmm. that did things the way the Lutheran church always, you know, did. Sometimes mm-hmm. does.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes it's very easy to fall into a pattern of we do it really well. Our mm-hmm. sacraments, our liturgy, like I love it all, right? I love mm-hmm. traditional service. I love the hymns. I love contemporary too. Like, mm-hmm. honestly, I could go to either service and be super happy. In fact, I go to either one depending on my mood. Very, very moody.
I've done the same. Yeah.
Right. But
by the way, there is something about like going to a really cool traditional Christmas service, right? Oh, yeah. And breaking out these traditional hymns. Yes. And it's awesome that you can have like this modern contemporary worship experience, but then also be able to, it's like to be able to feast on both of these things. It's really cool, actually.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Yeah. And so, but what I have seen is, you know, at different churches and I know everybody's, you know, working through their challenge in their church, in their community, because different communities have different challenges. But sometimes when we go into, well, let's make sure everything is perfect for the people here and the way they've always kind of done it. You know, what are we called to do, right? What's our great commission? Like, we've got to get out there and tell people about Jesus. And that requires a real intentionality to meet people where they're at. And that may not be where we're at. It may not be the language we speak, you know, the sound of the music that we like just so. But boy, it's not about us, right? Like, it's right. Always about Jesus. And so balancing wanting to serve our members, absolutely, because we got to feed ourselves. It's the oxygen mask on the airplane, right? You know, you got to mm-hmm. put the oxygen mask on yourself so you can breathe in this case, God's life, so that you can go and serve others. So what are you doing to serve others and be missional? And I've got to say, it's one of the things that lights me up here is that, you know, are very entrepreneurial, very outwardly focused on how do we reach more people? How do we multiply? And mm-hmm. That way it's not just one church, it's many churches, it's small churches, it's popping up in households, at restaurants, right. Like wherever that might be. Like if you are into biker gangs and you've got a passion for Jesus and you've got your Harley, you drive up and all of a sudden you got a biker gang church at the local place and you're right. talking about Jesus, like where is that, you know, where is that missional piece? And so I always want to encourage and challenge you know, any thinking that kind of defaults to just resting on our laurels, because I don't think anybody intends to do that. I really don't. I think everybody, you know, in the Lutheran Church really wants to love Jesus, really wants to do what he wants us to do. But we've got to be really intentional on doing it. And we've got to raise up leaders right in our own community. Like, it's one of the reasons I'm here now in this position is because there was a very real and accessible way for the flame of my desire to profess God's word, like got fanned. Like, mm-hmm. I never saw that path in previous churches I had been in. Not that it wasn't available to go to seminary and move my whole family across country, and make a commitment I wouldn't even understand how to wrap my mind around. But right. In a very real way, I saw a way I could take classes and I could mm-hmm. learn how to do it. Nobody just knows how to run up and start professing God's word. Yes, we're supposed to present God's word and let the Holy Spirit do the work. But like to think that some people have some special, you know, gift that only they have, that you can't develop if you've got a passion you feel the Holy Spirit calling you to do, like both are true. Both are yeah. true. And for you, it may be that your flame, maybe there's a little spark and it just needs to get fanned and you could be, you know, multiplying God's kingdom. Like it just, it's just exciting, exciting stuff. So I would love for more and more, you know, Lutheran, you know, LCMS churches to feel that flame and the community feel it that they're in. That would be the one thing I'd say is
we often don't as a church body talk enough about what it means to be part of the royal priesthood of all believers. Every single member, every single believer shares in the Great Commission. You have been given authority to share the gospel with your neighbors, and you've been given authority and privilege to pray for the sake, well-being, the faith of those who don't believe. And I tell you, you may not know how to share the gospel. I get it. Like, not everybody knows how to have a gospel conversation with their neighbors. Right. They may not feel equipped, but you can pray. And I guarantee that any church body that is earnestly, like its members are earnestly praying for the salvation of people that are not in church, they are going to figure out how to become a missional church.
Amen.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
So yeah. turn to the Lord in prayer. If you don't know how to preach it, then pray it. Right.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit will make it happen. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you don't have to be a church worker or in my past lives, like in different workplaces, if you are just presenting God to others, that's all we're called to do. The Holy Spirit does the rest of the work. So, mm-hmm. you know, imagine your worst. I tell this to some of the boys I mentor in the school. All we're called to do is present God and the word specifically. And the word is God. It's Jesus. Literally, mm-hmm. it's to share Jesus. So what's the worst thing that could happen? And they usually say something to the effect of, well, they could say, well, I don't really believe in that stuff. And I go, no, it could be worse than that. They might get angry and they might go, yeah. I don't believe any of that stuff. And I think it's a hoax. And I think you're all liars. And he could say a bunch of terrible things and their eyes all kind of get a little big. Like some
or
of
he could be in Syria and they could like, you know, they could get executed
right.
for it.
Right. You could get executed. Yes. Yes. I am saying a little bit more here in Gilbert, Arizona, yeah. but yes, but yes, absolutely. That could happen.
Right.
And so that worst case scenario, as bad as it could be, they have a reaction in whatever way. And then after you say, okay, and then you just continue to love them. Mm-hmm. You just continue to care for them. You continue to be the same person that relationally cares for them. And you know what they won't forget? The fact that you said something about Jesus. And you know what they'll continue to see? The love of Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
So maybe it was just that. And then they talk to somebody else and they talk to somebody. Who knows what happens down the road? But you presented Jesus and then the Holy Spirit does work. That's your workplace, your school, wherever you are. Just put that out there.
Dan, this has been a great conversation, brother. Thank you so much for giving me your time. And I hope everybody's been as excited as I am about having this conversation. If anybody wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you? Now's the time for those who want to sign up to serve at Christ Greenfield.
Okay. I mean, I usually give out my personal cell. You can call me, email me. That might be the best way right off the bat here. So D Morton, Morton, just like the salt, at cglchurch.org. And shoot me an email, call the church. Do you have that number handy, Jack? My phone's dead. I usually read it off my phone. I'm still new, guys.
ChristGreenfield.church, baby.
ChristGreenfield. There we go. Yeah. There we go. Yep. Yep.
So, Dan, thank you so much. Just like the salt, like you said, you make this place salty. It's a great job.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
All right, friends, it's a great day. Let's make it a wonderful day in the name of Jesus. This has been Lead Time. Dan, thank you so much. Take care. You. God bless.
You've been listening to Lead Time, a podcast of the Unite Leadership Collective. The ULC's mission is to collaborate with the local church to discover, develop, and deploy leaders through biblical Lutheran doctrine and innovative methods. To partner with us in this gospel message, subscribe to our channel, then go to theuniteleadership.org to create your free login for exclusive material and resources, and then to explore ways in which you can sponsor an episode. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for next week's episode. The Unite Leadership Collective is excited to announce the launch of our new online learning platform. Whether you're considering entering into ministry or already leading, we have the resources that you need to become an empowered leader in your ministry. Our learning platform will release new courses every quarter, with our first available course, Becoming an Engaged Leader, available now. But by joining our monthly membership, you'll unlock unlimited access to all of our courses and gain entry into our exclusive coaching community space where ministry leaders can connect with each other. This community also grants you access to bi-weekly coaching calls led by the ULC team, private Zoom calls, and additional team discounts. To celebrate the launch, we're offering introductory rates for all of our courses and the monthly subscription plan. Just enroll prior to January 1st using the code 75ULC2023 to get 75% off at checkout. Visit theuniteleadership.org to learn more about our online learning platform and start your journey to lead effectively in any church settings today.